Practice Test 4, Part 3. In this part, you will hear three short segments from a radio program. The program is called Learning from the Experts. You will hear what three different radio guests have to say about three different topics. Each talk lasts about 2 minutes. As you listen, you may want to take some notes to help you remember information given in the talk. After each talk, you will be asked some questions about what was said. From the three answer choices given, you should choose the one which best answers the question according to the information you heard. Remember, no problems can be repeated. For problems 36 through 50, mark all your answers below. Do you have any questions? Now you will hear the first radio segment.
At laboratories and institutes around the globe, engineers are looking to the natural world in their quest for new innovations. Jenny O'Sullivan reports.
Biomimetics, technology which mimics a design or system appearing naturally in biology, is becoming increasingly common. One example would be the six-legged tractor currently being designed by a Finnish company based on aspects of insect anatomy. Robert James, an engineer involved in this field, is here to explain further.
By studying insects closely, the Finnish team has been able to design a vehicle that can traverse terrain that would be impassable for a wheeled vehicle. But biomimetics doesn't only apply to automatons such as this. Innovations like Velcro fall into the category too. The hook and loop system of this fastener was inspired by the seeds of the burdock plant, which have been designed by nature to attach themselves to passing animals to aid pollination. A more recent example is a revolutionary plastic film based on the microstructures found in moth eyes. These are capable of collecting a great deal of light without reflecting it. When the new material is applied to the screen of a cell phone, for example, it lessens the amount of reflected light, thus enhancing the readability of what appears on the screen. In addition, battery life is prolonged as the need to illuminate the screen is reduced.
The natural world is full of ideas which could be exploited by engineers. But finding the best solution to an engineering problem is often a hit or miss affair.
The problem is that engineers are not conversant with the full range of biological mechanisms. Consequently, decades can be spent working on new technology which nature has actually already perfected. Optical fibers constitute a case in point. They have similar appearance and optical properties to the spiny skeletal protuberances of a species of deep-sea sponge known as the Venus flower basket. Had engineers known about this remarkable animal earlier, they could have taken a shortcut. However, a new database containing biological systems may provide the answer. If a keyword, shock absorption, let's say, is typed in, the database will produce a list of plants or animals with features such as joints, perhaps, designed to serve this purpose. It is then up to the engineer to establish if any are of use for his or her particular project.
They will have access to proven solutions to problems, in other words. And while the trial and error aspect of the design of new technology can never be completely eliminated, time and effort can definitely be saved. With a tool like this, nature is likely to play an even greater role in the technological innovations of the 21st century.
Now you will hear questions 36 through 40. Number 36. What does biomimetics involve? Number 37. Why does Robert James include the example of the Venus flower basket? Number 38. What innovation has the moth eye inspired? Number 39. What kind of information is included in the database? Number 40. According to the speakers, why is the database important? Now you will hear the second radio segment.
The discovery of fragments of spiderweb entombed in a piece of Spanish amber has sparked great excitement in the scientific community. The reason? The amber is 110 million years old, which makes the silken strands found within it the oldest known fossil of its kind. Jerry Lopez reports.
Amber is the hard orangey-yellow substance which is actually tree sap or resin in its fossilized form. And while it's not uncommon for spiders and other small creatures to have become trapped in this sticky substance as it solidified, never before has a web of this age been discovered in a piece of amber. Invertebrate biology specialist Allison Schwartz explains its significance.
Well, up until now it has been suspected, but never confirmed, that the spiders in existence at the time of the dinosaurs survived by weaving the same kind of aerial webs as today's spiders. However, it's also believed that the very earliest spiders didn't spin aerial webs, though they did produce silk. This may have been used to line their burrows or as a means of sensing approaching prey. In the latter case, vibrations felt along the strand would have alerted them that food was in the near vicinity. At some point along the way, a change occurred and spiders began to spin webs that were suspended in the air to snag their victims. Until now, we haven't been able to date this behavior shift.
So thanks to this piece of Spanish amber, we now know that this evolutionary step had already been taken 110 million years ago. But this isn't the oldest amber sample containing spider silk, is it?
No. A piece of Lebanese amber exists, which is an estimated 130 million years old. However, this contains only a single strand of spider silk rather than a web fragment. At present, there is no way of determining whether this came from an aerial web or not. But with the Spanish sample, which has a roughly cylindrical shape and measures about 18 by 7.5 millimeters, a substantial section of a spider's web can be seen. It comprises 26 strands of silk, some of which are joined to others crosswise, as we would expect with a geometrical aerial web. Also entombed in the amber is a beetle, a mite, a fly, and a wasp leg. Although it doesn't contain an intact spider, as other samples do, this in no way detracts from the significance of the find.
As well as helping researchers gain more insight into spider evolution, the discovery will also help them better understand the evolution of the insects that constitute their prey. We now know, for example, that spider webs have had at least 110 million years to influence these flying insects.
Now you will hear questions 41 through 45. Number 41. What does the Spanish amber show? Number 42. What did early spiders use silk strands for? Number 43. What does the Spanish amber contain? Number 44. What is the problem with the Lebanese amber? Number 45. What is another reason why the amber is important to researchers? Now you will hear the third radio segment.
As many city dwellers are aware, apartment building roofs can become pretty hot in the summer. But in many U.S. cities, the shift towards a different kind of roofing is helping keep temperatures down. Joanne Parks reports.
More and more apartment owners are installing green roofing in an attempt to cool down buildings and bring down energy consumption. But what exactly is a green roof? Architect Bruce Page has the details.
We use the term to describe any roof partially or entirely given over to the growth of vegetation. The difference between green roofing and the more conventional container gardens where plants are simply maintained in pots is that the former comprises a layer of soil or other growing medium over a waterproofing membrane covering the roof. In some cases, an additional drainage system layer may be installed. A typical green roof in the U.S. consists of a watertight layer topped by a few inches of artificial soil in which wildflowers have been planted. These are a favorite choice as they are particularly low maintenance.
Green roofing technology is actually sophisticated enough to ensure that sufficient rainwater is retained for the plants to thrive with the minimum of human interference, often creating a habitat for insects and birds. For some migratory birds, a green roof represents a stopping-off place on a very long journey. But the desire to create a natural environment is hardly the driving force behind the growing popularity of green roofing.
No, that would be its cooling effect. Buildings with traditional roofs absorb radiation from the sun, which heats up the interior, increasing air conditioning use. Green roofing, however, reduces summer cooling needs by about 25%. Traditional roofs also reflect radiation back into the atmosphere in the form of heat. This causes the urban heat island effect, a phenomenon in which urban centers are considerably hotter than outlying districts. In New York City, for example, roofs in the center can reach as much as 5.4 degrees higher than those in the suburbs. But on a day when the temperature on a centrally positioned conventional rooftop would soar to 150 degrees Fahrenheit, a green roof in the neighborhood would only be about 80 degrees. A further advantage of green roofing concerns precipitation. In many areas, heavy rainfall can mean so much water entering the sewer systems that they overflow. This can result in untreated sewage spewing into local waterways. In New York City, on about half of the days when there is heavy rain, the Hudson River is contaminated like this. Green roofs, however, address this problem as they retain about 75% of all water falling on them.
And this will eventually evaporate. Green roofing certainly seems like an excellent way of investing in your own building as well as your city.
Now you will hear questions 46 through 50. Number 46. Which of the following might someone choose as an optional extra for a green roof? Number 47. Which aspect of the green roof might appeal to gardeners? Number 48. What does the term urban heat island effect refer to? Number 49. How can a green roof be helpful in the event of heavy rain? Number 50. According to the speakers, what benefits might a green roof offer to wildlife?